There is therefore now no condemnation.
No condemnation.
No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Those who are in Christ Jesus.
For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free.
Set you free.
From the law of sin and death. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
There is freedom.
There is freedom.
And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord.
Glory of the Lord.
Are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another.
For freedom, Christ has set us free.
For freedom, Christ has set us free.
For freedom, Christ has set us free.
Christ has set us free.
Stand firm, therefore.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
Stand firm.
And do not submit again to the yoke of slavery.
Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery.
Through this man, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you.
To you.
To you.
Proclaimed to you.
And by him, everyone who believes is freed.
Is freed. Is freed. Freed from everything.
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 Freed from everything from which you could not be freed.
By the law of Moses.
So, if the Son sets you free.
If the Son sets you free.
If the Son sets you free.
Because the Son has set you free.
Because the Son has set you free. Has set you free.
You will be free.
You will be free.
You will be free. You will be free. You will be free. You will be free.
You will be free.
You will be free.
You will be free indeed.
Happy Independence Day. I love that because we have a really awesome independence that we can celebrate today, and it's better than what our country is going to be celebrating in 2 days. If we're here tonight and we're believers, we're celebrating freedom that we can only get in Jesus. And I love how they just kind of read you that verse kind of in a dramatic way to remind you of your freedom. It reminds you what Jesus has done. Hey, what series have we been walking through over the last few weeks? You guys remember what book we're in? Colossians. And what have we titled this series? Coming into focus. And why are we saying come into focus? What does that mean? What are we learning in Colossians? Any ideas? Any guesses? Jordan, you tell us. You know this. Life comes into focus. Yeah, you see what's important because we know who our God is. And what are a few things that we've mentioned so far up to this point that have been views that Paul has given us in his book, in his letter to the Colossians, that have kind of helped us keep clicking a little more each week to get this focus? You remember a few of these things we've talked about? Who's got one?
God's will for your life.
God's will was one. Good job. God's will. What else? The person. Yeah, the person of Christ. Who Jesus actually is for us. Anything else? The gospel. Yeah, that was like the big deal one. Any others? There are a few more, but you guys are hitting the big ones. One more? One more. No, that's okay. All right, we'll look it up. What Paul is doing in this book up to this point is he's been giving us views of different things that are super important, and you named a few of them. You need to go back and review and pick those other ones up. But views that are helping us see what life is really about. You guys want to walk around life and have no idea what it's about at all? How are you going to know how to live? How are you going to know how to make choices? How are you going to know that when you get to the end of your life, you lived it in a way that was worthwhile? How are you going to know where to go to school? Where to go to college? What kind of job to get? Who to marry? How are you going to answer these questions? If you have no guide, if you have no filters, no view, no lens to see through that's going to help you make these decisions, then you're just going to kind of do it. And by the time you get to the end, you may look back and go, why did I even do any of this? What was the point of this whole life that I just lived if I got here and it was really of no value? And so the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, wrote this letter to the Colossians to help them as this way for them to look forward and say, what is life really worth living for? What's going to guide and direct me so that when I do get to the end of this thing over here, I can look back and go, yes, that's why I lived it. That's what this whole thing was for and about. And now that I'm here, I'm so glad that's the way I chose to go. And so he's given us these awesome views, and tonight we hit this climax of the book because he wrote this letter in a really cool way. It's like an X, right? And Hebrew people did this a lot. In order to stress big ideas, they would kind of start with one thing, and then when they got to the middle, that's where they made their big point. And then they'd kind of go back again to the thing. It was kind of this weird literary thing that they did. It was just their deal. But we're at the middle. We're right here at the beginning of chapter 3. And we're right in that middle of the X where Paul is going to make his big dramatic point. And so tonight, as we saw all of these views, we're going to see the view, the big deal, the focal point of this entire thing, the very lens that we should all have as believers to look through at life and say, oh, now I can see it clearly. This is it. This is the magnification I need, the right one, to be able to see. Have you guys ever seen Spider-Man? Like, I know there's 8,000 Spider-Man movies now, right? But the first Spider-Man that made all like superhero movies awesome again. Remember that one? Where he wakes up after he got bit by the spider and all of a sudden he's like really buff. And he walks into the bathroom and he puts his glasses on. And he's like, whoa, I can't see now. And he pulls them off and he puts them back on. And he realizes, I don't need my glasses anymore. Like, I can see clearly. Some of us have that view because we have no idea what life is about. We've never heard this stuff. We don't know the gospel. And these lenses aren't to the right magnification for us. And so as we look out at life, we're seeing very blurred. And we're thinking life is about one thing when really God's like, it's not about that, Rob. Why are you living that way? Why do you value that thing so much? Because it's really worthless. It's just trash in the big scheme, but you can't see it because you're looking through a skewed lens. And so here we are at the focal point tonight, and what Paul is going to say should be our lens that we could take out of this passage and carry and look through it as we look at life and say, this is really what life's about. I can see it now. This is awesome. And so look with me. We're going to read Colossians chapter 3, just the first four verses of Colossians 3 tonight. It says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now, this is the best way I can explain what Paul's trying to do to us tonight. And I'm going to show it through a video clip real quick that Caleb has ready for us. So peek up here for a second.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. If you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All right, really dramatic, right? Really dramatic. We get the lights off and I put glasses on and be like, all right, choose. No, we're not going to do that tonight. But here's the deal. I like the last line that he said out of that movie, The Matrix, if you've never seen it. The last line, all I offer is the truth. Here's the deal. We've got so much better truth than anything we'll find in that movie or anywhere else in this world. We've got the gospel. The truth is all we need. The truth is the lens. And the truth is what Paul offers us here, right here in this passage. The deal breaker, the thing that makes everything different about our lives, that changes every last detail about who you are. That's the lens. That's the gospel. And so let's look at it tonight. He says in verse 1, he says, if then. All right, so that's important because if then, you can't just start off a conversation. Hey, Caitlin, hey. Oh, in that case, you're like, whoa, what? What? You didn't even say hi. You're just starting off. I don't even know what you're talking about. Where'd that come from, right? Well, he's linking back to what we just studied for the first two chapters. Because all that stuff Paul just said, all those lenses he just offered, how great Jesus is in his supremacy, how incredible the gospel is to change our lives and the work that he does in us when we're connected to Christ. The will of God for us. All of these amazing things that God has already done. Because of all that, right? If then you have been raised with Christ. All that work has just been done. We talked about. If Christ has truly come into your heart and changed you, if Christ has truly taken you from being a dead person to being a living person now, you're like, whoa, what? How, a dead person to a living person? How does that even work? We're born dead. We've talked about this before. We're born sinful. We're born dead to true life, separated from the source of life Himself, from God. And so we're born already destined for death forever. We're walking around zombies dead, waiting for an eternity of death. It's morbid. Nobody wants to hear that. And so the good news is that God says, that's not good enough. I love you so much, I'm going to offer you life. I'm going to offer you this choice. So if you have been raised with Christ and you've received that life that only Jesus can give you by dying on the cross for you, by paying the penalty that you deserve for your disobedience against God, if you've been raised with Christ, made alive again, given hope that you can be connected to your Creator again, if that's truly happened in you, you have this promise of forever with your Creator. This is what it should look like for you. This is the lens that you should have because all that incredible stuff happened in you. Here it is. Seek the things that are above. That seems so simple. Wait, what? Seek the things that are above. And this word above is awesome because you're like looking up in the ceiling like, is there something hidden up there? It's like an Easter egg hunt. Is R2-D2 hidden up there? Where is R2-D2 tonight? C-3PO, that's right. I'm forgetting him. He's always behind me, so I never see him. We're not looking up, right? It's not necessarily just that you're doing this. The fact that you're looking for something better. The things that are above. The things that are of God. Literally, God's stuff. God's things. The things that are close to God's heart should be things that are close to your heart. Not just these invisible spiritual things that we can't really talk about or whatever. There are some very physical things here on earth that take place that are God's things. They're things that are above. When you feed the hungry, when you help the poor, when you bring the gospel verbally to someone face to face, those are physical things that are happening on this earth, but they're so much bigger than the earth. They're things that reach out into eternity. They're things that are investments that will last forever, and they're God's things, things that concern His heart, that He loves. Seek those things. Remember I said you get to the end of your life and you look back and go, I wasted all my time on garbage that disappeared and nobody cares about anymore. Why did I make all those decisions? Why'd I struggle so hard to get here when I wasted all this? Where He's saying, if you seek the things above, God's things, those things last forever. So when you turn around and you look, that's an investment that's going to last for eternity. How could you ever go wrong with that type of investment? Seek the things that are of God, that are close to God's heart. Number one, because they last forever. And number two, because He's your God, who loves you, who has your best in mind, who has planned every second of your life. Those are the things we should be seeking after. But it's so easy not to. It's so easy to seek after the things that are right here, right now, right in my face. They're happening, they're exciting, they're there, I see them, I want this, I like that, that feels good, I'm going to try these things. And they're very distracting because they're always in my face. So it's hard to see past them. They're very blinding. That's why this lens is so important. Because as we can take it, we can see right through the garbage right here and see actually into eternity. We finally have a lens strong enough to show us eternity and what values the most in eternity. Whereas without that, you can't see that. All you can see is this world and this life and what pleases me right now. And then you have no choice but to live for that. Because you don't know anything else is out there. And so it kind of is like the Matrix with that blue pill, because you just think this is what it is. I'm looking around me and it's all about pleasing me and finding friends and doing these things right here on earth, and this is the whole deal and I'm going to make it great. Then you get to the end and you go, that was horrible. There was no point in any of that. What a waste. Whereas if you have the lens and you say, look, I'm going to seek what you love, God, you're going to get to the end and you're going to look back and go, this was so worth it. Because you love me so much, you planned this whole thing out. And you showed me what was truly important. He says, seek the things that are above. And then he follows it with this phrase, where Christ is. Oh man. You know that he says in the very beginning, you were raised with Christ, right? Christ gave you a new life. If you have been raised with Christ, then seek the things where Christ is. If you wanted to be raised with Jesus, to be with Jesus, shouldn't you be seeking the things that are where Jesus is? Shouldn't you want to be with Jesus? Some of us are still waiting. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for Him to come back to finally seek Him? To finally enjoy Him and be with Him? He's here now. He's raised you. Seek the things where He is. Desire to be close to Christ. Desire Him now. What are you waiting for? Where Christ is, that should be where you are happiest. Not in parties and seeking things of this earth that are not ever going to please you fully. But seek the one who will, where Christ is, that your heart just long to be with him and close to him and love him and have a relationship with him. Forget this boring religion talk that we do. Love Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus. Live with Jesus. Search Jesus. And this religion stuff will never be boring again, because it's a relationship with the greatest person who's ever lived, where Christ is. And then it says, seated at the right hand of God. You know why he says that? Because we've been talking all this time about these different things. It's hard. It's hard to choose things that aren't of the world. Because remember, we said the world is just so attractive and it's right there. And it's like, man, I want that. I want to do those things, Rob. So I try, but then I have good intentions and then I still end up going to do these really knucklehead things because they're right there in front of me. And it's a dumb choice, I know, but I still sometimes do it. It's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes we get tricked. Sometimes it's just like, it's so enticing. It's tempting. It's right in front of my face. But no matter how hard it gets, we're reminded, and Paul reminds us here with this phrase, that Christ was seated at the right hand of God. We studied this when we looked at some of the passages in Hebrews. He's seated. Jesus has finished the work. He is the ultimate sacrifice. Priests would have to go back all the time and continually sacrifice and sacrifice in the Old Testament, because people kept sinning. And the sacrifices were never actually doing anything to fully pay for sin. But Jesus, Jesus paid for it all. One time, done. He's that big, that awesome. And so when Jesus paid the sacrifice, he was done. He raised you back to life and you stay alive. You don't fall back dead again. The work that Jesus does is so powerful, he finishes it in you. And so as tempting as this earth can be, as hard as fighting sin and this battle of spiritual warfare can be, we have a promise the whole time that Jesus already beat it. He's already won the battle. So hold on. Trust Christ. Seek where he is and in the work that he's already done for you. Look at verse 2. It says, he repeats it, right? He's like, don't miss it. I'm going to say it again. It's that important. It's at the point of my X here in the very middle. It's the climax of what I'm trying to tell you. Don't miss it. He's like yelling right now. Set your minds on things above. He repeats it. You see the lens? Love the things God loves. Seek Jesus above everything else. And he changes the second part a little bit to add some more emphasis. He says, not on things that are on the earth. The things that are easy to see, that we taste, that we smell, that we touch, that we feel, that we experience. The things that are so close to us every single day, we see them, and we see them so often and smell them so often and hear them so often that it just becomes commonplace to us and normal, and it becomes our box that we live in. And that becomes our habit, and that becomes what we think life is. And it's like, break out of the box. There's life so much greater than anything you'll find on this earth. Seek the things above and get out of your box. Get out of the normal routine that you call life and say, Christ, you're better and bigger and awesome, and let me actually make a difference through you. Because I'm going to seek you and see what your will is for my life. Remember, we talked about God's will? And that one plays in. Seek Christ. Not on the things of this earth. Seek the things that will last forever. And you know, Jesus tells us this himself. We look in the Gospels in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20. I'll just read it to you real quick. Listen, you can look it up later. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? You guys know this. In heaven. You're right. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. Jesus is telling you. Paul, Jesus, scriptures are full of it. Don't be focused on the garbage of this earth, because it's a garbage heap that's broken and it's destined for ruin. Don't value this too much. This isn't life. This isn't everything. That beautiful car that you can't wait to have, and it's all you can think about, getting your license and getting that car. Oh man! One day it just won't be that exciting. One day it's going to be rotting in some trash dump somewhere, and you'll be off to a new one. All the things that you can line up about this earth that your heart just longs so much for, he's saying, will corrupt, and thieves can steal it from you. Rust will just rot it away. Moss will eat it. This world is not meant for forever. It's breaking. So why are so many of us in this room living for it? Why are so many of us so in love with this world and this life? You know how I can freely say that? I don't mean to offend you. Hope I'm not. But I know my own heart. And I figure if you're human just like me, you're probably in the same boat as me. That it's so easy for us to get distracted by the junk that rots. And we need Christ. We need God to radically give us this lens to say, Jesus, you are so much better and you are what is worth living for. Nothing else but you. And what things are close to your heart. Real things that matter. People. Souls. The way we interact with one another for Christ. Those things matter. Those are things from above. Why do you think our mission statement here is to love God and love people, right? Those are the things that really matter, that aren't going to rust away or rot. Do you love God and love people well? Are those your top true priorities in life? Are those are the things that you're seeing this world through? Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, I no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. I don't look around and just see a bunch of people. Big deal, they're just people. I look around and I see souls. I see creations of God that He loves and wants to save and bring to eternity with Him. That's what I see when I look around me now. Is that what you see? And that person that comes by that just annoys you and you can't stand their personality, do you see that annoying personality or do you see a soul that God created and loves with all of His heart enough for Jesus to die on the cross for them? Do you see a precious treasure of God when you look at other people, or do you see the things you like or don't like about other people? How do you interact with them? Do you love people well? And do you desire God more than all the other junk in your life? Those are questions we should all be asking ourselves as we try to peer through this lens tonight. Verse 3, he says, for you have died. You're dead. What? I'm breathing right now, Rob. Check yourself. You might need to check the pulse just to make sure. Make sure I'm not lying here. You're dead. How are we dead, Rob? I still feel my pulse. If you've believed in Christ tonight, that old life that we just described is gone. You don't identify with that anymore. That's not you. Kyle is no longer someone who loves this world and lives in this world because Kyle has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. So Kyle is now someone who is alive to Jesus, as Paul tells us. He's alive in a brand new life and all that other stuff is dead to him. I don't need that anymore. I don't need this corrupted, broken stuff that's just going to pass away. I don't need those pleasures that only last a little bit of time. I have eternity with the God who created everything that exists. I'm His now. I'm His child. I have a brand new life. I'm dead to that stuff. And Paul says, you're dead. Let me wake you up. Let me surprise you. Let me shock you out of your slumber. You're dead to that stuff if you believe in Christ. It's passed away. It's done. It's useless to you now. Are you living that way? Do you really believe that tonight? As you sit here, I want you to ask yourself that question. Do I really believe now that I've accepted Christ that I'm dead to this world? That He's given me something totally new to live for because He's made me totally new. Look at the next phrase. He says, and your life is hidden. Hidden, that's a tricky word. Any ideas what that word that's... We just kind of jumped past right there. There it is. Is hidden. You know what that means? Any guesses? How are you hidden? Are we playing hide and seek with God? Can't see me, Jesus. I'm checking. What? Is that what we're doing? What's going on here? You're hidden. Well, that word hidden is kind of a cool word. In Greek, it's crypto. Crypto. Like an encrypted file. You know, like spy movies. Any like spy fanatics in here? I love it. Like, yeah, dude. Anyway, you guys need to be more exciting. Like an encrypted file. What's an encrypted file for all my spy geek friends in here like me? Anybody?
Like the words are hard to read. Yeah. The code.
Yeah, like you can't read the file, but you can't even find it, right? If you look in the computer, it's gone. It's just like it's not there. It's encrypted. So you can't get it. It's locked out. Like the idea here is that it's totally hidden. You can't find it. It's disappeared. It's totally immersed in something else is the idea. You cover it up with something else. The thought here is that Paul is trying to tell us that he's taken you and your old life, who you used to be, disappears completely because you're immersed in something else. Something bigger. Look what he says next. Immersed with Christ in God. All that junk fell off you. It's dead. It's gone. It's foreign to you now. All the old sin and desires of the world, those are gone. And He's taken you and He's submersed you into God because of Christ. So what, you just disappear? You're just gone? You're never to be seen again? No! You're brand new. You're totally new. And so now what people see, or what God sees when He sees you, is somebody who has a brand new identity. That one disappeared, and you now have the identity of being a child of God. Would you rather be the enemy of God waiting for Him to destroy you, or His own child that He loves with all His heart? That's a tough one, right? Yeah, that's who you get to be when He's redeemed you, when He's saved you. He's made you His child when He submersed you into Himself and said, I love you and I will surround you with Myself. Your identity now is someone that I protect. You're found in Me and I love you with all that I am, and I'm giving you a brand new life. And all that to say that the old one should be dead, right? You say, it's dead. It's dead. Leave it. Don't focus on the earthly things. What if Michael Jordan, remember how Michael Jordan, anybody still remember who he is? Is he still like, you guys still know? Is he like, some of you, okay, everybody, good. I thought so. He's that famous. He's played how many sports? Anybody know? Where did he go from? He played, which was his first one? Basketball. Stud at basketball. Awesome, right? And then all of a sudden he's like, hey, I'm having a midlife crisis. I'm going to change sports. What did he go to?
Badminton.
Huh? Baseball. Then he goes to what? Golf. Right? This guy's played a bunch of sports. No, here's my question. He's good at everything he does. But what if Michael Jordan went into the game of golf and still thought that he was playing basketball? He shows up on golf day and he doesn't bring any clubs and he's wearing his basketball uniform and he walks up to the ball and he picks it up and tries to throw it to the hole.
Yeah.
Is that going to be legal?
Yeah.
Is that going to work out? How's his golf partner going to feel? Probably not going to be too happy, right? Like, Kyle, how would you feel if I decided to go golfing with you and chuck the ball at the hole? Right? He'd be like, yeah, get off the course, right? You shouldn't be here. It just doesn't work. Listen, he tried a brand new thing with a brand new role and position. He had to leave the basketball behind. He had to change completely what he was doing, who his role was, who his identity was now. He was no longer a basketball player. He was a golf player. Golfer. Whatever. You get it. Right? Why do we think that changing our lives from the old life to the new life would be any different? Because the honest truth is, there's a lot of so-called Christians that go, hey, I've had a changed life. I now follow Jesus, but guess what? I'm still living the old life. I'm taking my basketball skills into golf. I'm taking my death and sin into a relationship with Christ. Oh, get off the field, man. Get off the field. You haven't even understood what this whole thing is about. You're dead to that. You're alive to the God who loves you and saved you and changed your entire life. It should change who you are. It should change your identity. It does. Have you bought into that? Have you truly believed in a way that says, God, change me? Give me a new life. Give me a new identity that is submersed in you. And I'm so deeply immersed in you that this world, man, I can see right through it now. I can see what's truly worth living for, and it's the things that you love. Love the things God loves, hate the things God hates. That's the lens. Seek the things that are above. And he ends this passage here that we're going to see tonight with verse 4. He says, when Christ, this awesome treasure we've been talking about and waiting for, when Christ, who is your life, I love that. I'm going to stop right there. That's not the whole thought, I know. But who's your life? Is he? Is Jesus your life? See, because that's the lens. There it is again. You will live that life right. You'll be able to see clear if Jesus is the main thing. Is he your whole life? Yeah, he's the one who gave you life. Yeah, he's the one who died so you could have life. He's the one who created you in the beginning. But have you made him your life? So he's done all the other parts. Have you said, God, I want Christ to be my life. I want to surrender my heart to you and make you my life. Make my life about you. Is Christ your life? Because it says, when Christ, who is your life, you should be waiting for with all your heart, appears. Look at that. That word appears. Remember we talked about hidden a minute ago, right? Disappeared. All of a sudden he flips it. Now he uses the opposite here. And he says, appears. appears. He comes back, and you're like, you're not going to stay disappeared in some weird thing. You're coming back in the glory of Christ. Then you also will appear with Him in glory. He's radically changing you. Your identity gets swallowed up. That sinful, broken identity disappears and the records are gone and you become brand new as you appear with Christ. Standing now as a child of the living God who loves you more than anything else, who has totally forgiven you and changed you. So leave the death. Walk in the life. Take that lens and look through it and see what's really important. I want to challenge you guys tonight. Use the lens. Pick it up and start to search your own heart and say, what things am I living for that are not lining up with this? What things am I living for and loving so much that are definitely not the things above? They're not the things God loves. I want to challenge you to just drop them off. Drop them off. Get rid of them. And start seeking passionately after Jesus, who is your life. Now, this is, we said this is Independence Day. We're celebrating freedom. So I have two questions for you. Well, today's not, but it will be soon. Two questions for you. Have you been set free? Are you sitting here tonight and you've experienced the salvation of Jesus? You've given Him your sin and your heart and you said, God, I want to be made new. Do you see God in this truth? And if so, you're like, Rob, yeah, I have. I'm sitting here. I sit here every week. I've done that. Are you living free? Because there's a difference. Some of us are still trying to hang on to this old life. Are you living free? Jordan's going to come back up and lead us in the last song. I want us to open that up to a time for you to find leaders or friends or me, whoever. And if you're struggling with this, please come pray with us. Let us know. Let us pray with you. Rob, I need to be set free. I need the salvation you're talking about. We want to talk to you. And if you're like, Rob, I'm a little embarrassed because I've been coming here for 15 years and I still haven't been living free. I've been set free. I believe. But I need God to help me live free. I'd love to pray with you. So we'll be in the back. Otherwise, if you guys just want to shout out to Jesus, how awesome He is, you come up here and you feel free to worship, right? I'll pray and then Jordan's going to be up here. Pray with me. And we just thank You that You love us so much that Jesus paid everything to set us free, to make our identity be found only in You so that everything else is gone, all this trash. And we have something eternal and lasting and incredible to live for. And I beg You, Father, that You help us be free and to live free. To pick up this lens and see things, that they come into focus, God, and we truly see what's worth living for, that it's Jesus and Jesus alone. That nothing else would be closer to our heart than our Savior. We love You. It's in Christ's name we pray.